Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you for joining with me on the Word Podcast. You know, we've been covering the life of David here for quite a while. I'm not even sure how many episodes we've done. Just reading through what the scripture shows, the biblical account of David. And we've seen him from the time that he was anointed, called out as the one, as the young'un, you know, this type of thing. And all the various things. We're at the point now to where he has ascended to the throne. He's the king. There's peace all around him. He's built stuff. Even when people come against him, he defeats them. The chapter 10 we just finished were all these things about the enemies that he had fought and how he had victory over them. And now we get to chapter 11, 2 Samuel chapter 11. And one of the things that you see in the scripture is that God does not hide things from us. Okay. And I say this, I read this somewhere, and I think it to be true many years ago, so I say it all the time. The only person in the scripture, outside of Jesus, outside the Godhead, but the only human being that God didn't say anything negative about was Daniel. And it's not that God is speaking negative things about them or saying negative things about them, but he reveals things which are sins. He reveals the negative things. And we see that they were just as we are. And this right here is a biggie. 2 Samuel chapter 11. So let's just read. We'll read a portion of the account today. Probably take us a couple episodes to get through it. I'm not sure. But here's what it says in verse 1. Then it happened in the spring. Well, let me just stop right there. Even the way this is phrased, you know, the previous chapters will say things like, okay, and then this happened, and then this happened. Okay, and it's sort of along that line. But it just the way that it starts can make you think, okay, what's happening? The Hebrew here literally means this. At the return of the year, okay, at the return of the year, and when new life is coming forth, when springtime is bursting forth. So then it happened in the spring. And then this next phrase, at the time when kings go out. Well, at the time when kings go out for what? Well, the ESV, the King James, New American Standard, all give us some extra words right here in English where we know what it's talking about. And they say, when the kings go out to battle, go out to battle. And that is what's meant here, but it's not expressed in the Hebrew. Let me see, the Lexham says this. It came about in the spring, at the time the kings go out, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all of Israel. So David is doing something right here. So let me go back to the ESV. David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. Okay? So we're getting some context right here. We're seeing what's going on. It's springtime. It's the beginning of the year. It's the time of year when winter is over. It's time when the rain has stopped right there, and they can go out to battle. David sends Joab, who's the one that's over the warriors, over the army, and his servants, soldiers with him, and all of them, all of Israel, they go out, and they ravage the Ammonites, and they besiege Rabbah, okay? So they are having at it. But then it says this, but David stayed at Jerusalem. I wonder why that's said that way and why that's expressed that way. Well, just reading this first verse, we really don't know. It just may be a point of matter, a fact, and just in passing. But there may be something more significant about it. And, of course, you know I'm telling you there is something more significant about it. David did not go forward with his armies. Now, King didn't always have to do that, okay? I've heard people say too much about this probably, but David remained in Jerusalem. Verse 2, back at the ESV here. It happened late one afternoon when David arose from his couch and was walking on the roof of the king's house that he saw from the roof a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful. So, what's going on here? It says here, it happened late one afternoon, late in the afternoon, that David arose from his couch New American Standard King James said, from his bed. He's taking a nap. He's taking a nap. There's nothing wrong with a nap. Don't hear me wrong on that, right? If your body requires a rest, take a rest. Okay? That's nothing wrong with that, okay? But he arises from his rest, and he's walking on the roof of his house. Now, this would have been a flat roof. It would have been like a patio kind of thing, you know, an upper deck type of thing. He's walking, and he saw from the roof of his house a woman bathing. This woman is bathing on her roof, and there's some sense of expectation of privacy right here. But don't you know that the king would have the highest roof in all the land? The king's going to be able to see everything. And he sees this woman bathing, and she's very beautiful. So, verse 3, David sent and inquired about the woman. In other words, he sent to his servants, he sent to the folks around, said, hey, who's the lady over there? And one of them said to him, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Well, right there, David should have stopped what he was already doing. Because what was he doing? Well, he gets up from his couch. He's walking around. He sees this woman and goes, whoa, man, that's a very beautiful woman. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong being a man or a woman, either one, with looking, well, let me rephrase that with our politically correct things of the day. Nothing wrong with a man looking at a woman, and there's nothing wrong with a woman looking at a man and saying, oh, they're very beautiful. They're very beautiful. The sin occurs when you go beyond that step and decide that you want to pursue something that's outside of what you should pursue. Did David have any wives at this time? Yeah, a bunch of them. He had many of them. Well, maybe he just wanted to add another wife. Well, maybe so. And God's going to tell him later on, you know, if you'd wanted more wives, you could have just asked me and I would have given you more. Yeah, that sort of goes against what we think today, right? But that's another subject for another time, which we have talked about from time to time anyway. But David sins and he inquires and he finds out who she is. Well, this is Bathsheba, which I sort of get a kick out of that because I will say something I'll probably say along the lines of this later on, that David looks out there and he sees a Sheba taking a bath. Okay? But this is Bathsheba. Okay? Bathsheba literally means daughter of an oath. Daughter of an oath. But the real issue comes down to this right here. They say, this is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam. Okay, that's cool. The wife of Uriah the Hittite. David knew Uriah the Hittite big time. As we will see, Uriah the Hittite was off in battle right now with Joab. As we will see, Uriah the Hittite was one of David's 30 mighty men. This wasn't just some girl. This wasn't just some woman. This wasn't just some soldier. This is one of David's mighty men, and this beautiful woman was the wife of one of David's mighty men. What should he have done? Well, if she's the wife, he should have said, my, she's beautiful. Let's move on. Let's move away from that. But you likely know the story that he didn't move away from it. He started moving toward it. And let me tell you what. When you step outside the abiding of the Lord and start moving toward what you want within your soulish, fleshly realm, it's going to cost you dearly. Well, we'll see the rest of the story. Again, I'm Dale. Thank you for your time. I'll see you later. Goodbye.